Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
It got medical at times.
All right, here we are, Patrick. Over the last several days, we have been playing recordings, episodes we recorded at Suburbs Fest, the third annual in DC Suburbs Fest. And thanks to all the people who participated in that, who came out, who just hung out with us, really. That's what it's all about. And here we are on Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we're going to do a little recap today. We invited some of those same folks and maybe some other folks, I'm not sure, to come on the Zoom here and talk about what they liked and maybe didn't like. I don't know about Suburbs Fest. Have you returned to life since the epic experience that was Suburbs Fest?
Yes, I have. It took me a while, though. It really did. And, you know, as we discussed, I think, with people at the fest, it's not all that long after the one in the summer. And so you're just barely getting back to life from the one in Louisville, and then you plunge yourself in all over again.
Right. Absolutely.
That's why we have the holiday season to recover.
At least on this one, we're playing on our home field.
That's right. Yeah, it makes it easier. You can't sleep in your own bed at times.
You didn't have to travel for the game.
Yep.
Okay. So here's who's with us today. We have Kurt Gallagher. Hello, Kurt.
Hello.
We have Jason Goble. Hey, Jason.
Hey, everybody.
Hey. Bud Verge. Hey, Bud.
Hey, everybody. How are you today?
We have Mike Coley. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Tim Hoffman. Hey, Tim.
Hey, everyone. How you doing?
And Mark Dees. Hello, Mark.
Hello. Hi.
All right.
Hello. Good to be here.
Happy you guys all could join. So yes. I guess we'll just start. We just want to hear sort of your thoughts and feelings and memories and whatever about the goings on. I guess we should start with night one, which was Thursday at a place in D.C. called The Runaway. We had three bands on that bill, including one that I'm wearing the T-shirt for right now.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, the Airport 77s, but also Dear Daria and Wingtip Sloat. Mm. Oh, and I see Tim Hoffman is holding up the Airport 77 CD. Very nice.
Sweet. Yep.
I don't know. And well, apparently there was also some music trivia that I sort of missed on this. So why don't we start with that? What happened before the show?
Upstairs, in the bar upstairs, there was, I think they do their trivia night every week there. But it wasn't necessarily music trivia, but a lot of it was music related.
Okay.
And we kicked some butt.
Oh man, nice. There was no contest.
So you guys quickly formed a little team and then just, you know.
Yeah, there was a little discussion before the tournament started about how many people were on our team. Were we over the limit of how many people you could have on a team? And so we just we assured them, like, we're not cheating, we're just here, we're, you know, I think we even our prize for winning, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, we all were supposed to get free beers, but I think we're all like, I think we're going to be fine on the beer thing, so we don't need free beer. So we eschewed like the...
Wow.
We didn't get the prizes, I don't think, did we, Mike?
I got mine.
Maybe it was just me. It was pretty close to showtime. So I think after we won, I headed right downstairs to see the beginning of the music downstairs. I tell you, if trivia... You want Eric Didrikson on your team. Okay.
Yeah, you definitely want Eric. The man is a trivia pro.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. This doesn't surprise me at all.
Nick Scalera wasn't too shabby either.
Yeah, it was good. Bud was kind of helping us out from the sidelines.
You guys get that one?
Do you remember any of the questions that were asked?
There was one... I think I got my answer in maybe a nanosecond before Eric, but there was a question on there about, I forget, but the answer, I forget what the question was, but the answer was larynectomy.
Wow.
So it got medical at times. It's got, like, you know, linguistic, but there's some music and there's some movies, but it was fun. It was a good one. I mean, I even thought, like, man, I'd kind of like to come back here on an odd Thursday night to compete again, because it was a lot of fun.
And what was your team name?
The Suburbanites.
Very nice.
And I took a name from one of the other teams co-opted it and used it as a lyric for a song that I sang a couple of nights later at the at Hell's Bottom, because one of the other team names was called Government Butt Down.
That's right. It was right around that time, right?
It was.
Yeah. The supposed shutdown weekend that was averted and then sent the country into more chaos by averting the shutdown.
Yeah. And more importantly, it robbed Sam Lisker from being at the fest.
Which I know.
I'm never going to forgive the government for this.
That's right.
Because he couldn't make it to any of the nights.
Okay, so what did you guys think of the show that night? The three bands. Any thoughts?
I loved it.
It was amazing.
Yeah. It's always fun to see Wingtip Slope. So props to Patrick and the gang.
Thank you.
You guys always put on a great show.
I appreciate that.
Killed it.
Yeah.
You did.
Thank you. You know, I was thinking about this. It's funny when you're a band like we are, and of course we make our own, you know, situations, but because we play so rarely, when we leave our practice space in the basement, which is so finely, you know, all the sound is just so finely tuned, and that's like where we play all the time. We know exactly how everybody sounds. We've got it just right, and you're suddenly in this alien environment, and you're like, wait a minute, wait, this is not how you sound. Like, it's not like this anymore. And literally, when we pick, like, our amps and stuff up from where it is in the practice space, you know, like insects go scuttling in different directions because they've been there for so long.
That was our home. What have you done?
Exactly. What have you done? You did this last year. we just settled in. But I do want to thank Eric Didrikson very much for coming up on stage and playing with us on the His Golden Messenger cover that we did at the end of our set. So it was good. We had a really good time. And thanks, everybody, for coming, and thanks for the nice words. It was really fun.
You guys were great. And of course, you play mostly originals, but you did have a couple of covers. You just mentioned you closed out with the His Golden Messenger song, and you opened with a Lucinda Williams song, right?
That's right. Yep. And we threw the Verlaines in the middle. So that was a lot more like the old Wingtip Slit sets. We probably used to play about closer to 60-40 originals covers. We would always throw a lot of covers in there, so... but that was a long time ago. I was very impressed by the bass player in the Airport 77s, the guy who used to be in the four out of five Doctors. And he was just fantastic. He really was. That guy's got hands so big that he can literally span like four frets on a bass, which is really saying something. I just thought they were so tight and so entertaining.
Well, can we first mention that we were talking with the guys earlier in the night, you know, as they were getting set up and before the show, and even while you guys were playing, you know, we're hanging out with Andy and the others, and just having a nice, you know, chill time. And then they come out to perform, and they were wearing pilots' uniforms. You guys, at Wingtip Slope, don't ever dress up in uniforms.
Not on purpose, no.
So, Airport 77s, they were tight. Good power pop stuff, right? Everybody enjoyed that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Yeah,
really good.
Definitely.
I was surprised how much, I don't know what you call that, like follow through on the guitar strumming and a lot of like, you know, throwing one knee up in the air after you strum the guitar that Andy Sullivan, I think the guitarist for Airport 77, he's like really... for a stage that small, like he was moving around a lot, and I felt like, wow, if you put that guy on a bigger stage, he's going to be running all over the place. Maybe one of those
walkways
that goes out into the crowd, a ramp that goes up above, you know.
Those are like, called rock star moves.
Yes, big time. Good band, like really good energy, and a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
How about Dear Daria closing the night out? That was super good, too.
Dear Daria, I think, played whatever is coming out in, I think they said January or February. They played that whole thing. And frankly, I'll be honest, for me, January or February can't come soon enough because I'm definitely looking forward. And if it's going to be physically available, I think I'm going to be buying it. In addition to streaming it.
And then Friday, we had like a repeat thing from last year, basically. Frank Muffin opened, and then we heard the Half Smokes at Hank Deedle's Tavern. And well, first we should mention Frank Muffin played as a trio.
Yes.
Something new for the fest. But I will say that they sounded great. Of course, they're originals, but man, where you really knew they could really play as a power trio is when they played Makes No Sense at All.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That was great.
That was awesome.
That was a highlight for me.
So anyway, either band you want to talk about, yeah.
I was going to fly in from San Francisco or something, and wasn't he super jet lagged? And he sounded amazing.
I love those two new songs they played. I thought they were great. And then Begin to Begin by R.E.M. that they played was incredible, too. I mean, I rushed over and said, I never heard you guys play that one before. And he's like, we never have. So it's the first time. So it was just brilliant. It really was.
And you got that Icicle Works cover of Whistle.
Yes.
Yep. And then I've heard many people afterward declare the Half Smokes as the greatest cover band of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're fantastic.
They are.
One thing about the Half Smokes is, so they open with put your message in the box, or put a message in the box. I think I only saw World Party once back in the 90s. And I can't remember if they did that song when I saw them or not. But when they started it, because I remember that album, it was like definitely one of my favorite albums. And I thought there was a lot of studio tricks in that song, where it's, that makes me think, right. I don't know if they ever did it like all in one shot. So when they got to the point, you know, when they're doing it, I'm kind of like, I got my mouth like wide open in awe, like basically they're going to be doing this. And, you know, it's also a lot of the songs like that. Takes a lot. And, you know, I think I'm a modest New Yorker, but that having been said, takes a lot for me to be jealous of a city. But, I mean, I'll be honest, New York don't have a band like the Half Smokes playing regularly in the city.
I was so impressed when they played Fisherman Blues by the Waterboys.
Yeah.
I've been working on the violin solo for that song for 3 years. Wow. And finally this summer, after 3 years, I cracked the code to that solo on the ukulele. But I've been listening to it and trying to figure out what she's doing on the violin for years. And at the Half Smoke show, the guitar player who was standing to the left, mm-hmm. he played that violin solo on the harmonica as he's playing guitar.
That was incredible. It really was.
Yeah, I went up to him after the show and I gave him a fist pump. I said, I can't believe you just played that violin solo on the harmonica while, you know, playing the guitar at the same time. Fantastic.
One of the things that blew me away was they hardly repeated any songs that they did last year.
Right.
And last year they played a long set of covers. I mean, that was mind-blowing. It really was.
That was intentional, because he said right? Billy said, hey, we know there's, you know... probably a lot of the same people who were here last year, so we're not going to repeat some of the songs. I'm like, wow, that's really, really nice. But that shows like how much they've got in the bag, or like they're able to kind of pull all sorts of stuff out for a crowd and tailor the set list for us. That was really sweet.
And they have a great following that wants to get up and dance, which yes. is pretty amazing. I mean, there was an older gentleman there who was putting on some moves that I haven't seen in a long time.
That's right.
It was really impressive. Yeah, just some very slick stuff.
I think we were still talking about him after a Saturday Night's festivities. Like, oh my God, that dude was out of control, man.
It was mind-blowing.
And I think listeners, it paints a picture when a group of guys like us is calling someone an older gentleman.
Yeah,
I think you understand.
I shouldn't say that. Yeah, one of my peer group is up there dancing.
Somebody else had something to say.
Kind of looked like he looked like Charlie Watts to me for some reason. If it's the same guy that we're thinking of, I'm like, he's like the tall, thin, dapper gentleman.
Yeah, right.
Yes, right.
That's right. Probably works in the government office in D.C. and he's out, cutting a rug with a cover band. That was great.
To the earlier point, Jason's point about the World Party Song, and sort of like, I think, a lot of musicians might listen to that song on record and be like, oh, that's too difficult to pull off live. Let's just skip that one or whatever. But they do that. And then they had, they had a couple other songs I thought were pretty ambitious, like that Echo and the Bunnymen song. That seems like, I don't know what you guys think. That seems like that'd be hard to pull off, right? Was it Killing Moon?
Yep.
Is that what they did? Yeah. That seems like it'd be tough.
They have three people in that band that can sing really well, and it seems like any of them are comfortable with the lead, and they also can sing background and harmony really, really well. It's a special combination of musicians. It really is.
Yeah. They're great. So that was really fun.
And a great room. Hank Diedel's is a great spot. I wish it was at the end of my street, but it's really awesome.
And I think it was Mark Neese who dubbed them the greatest cover band on social media, and one of the criteria for being the greatest cover band was that they do not play Brown Eyed Girl.
I'm just so tired of that song. I'm sorry. Not a knock against Van Morrison.
No, but it's just that's the cliche cover song, right? That every
exactly.
Band
it's, every wedding band has to play that song probably up to this day.
Yeah.
There was another bar right beside Hank Diedel's that had live music. And as I was walking to the show, they were playing Brown Eyed Girl at the other place next door.
My God, is that right? That's crazy.
Funny. I thought that was the place. I heard music and I went to that place, but then I realized that's not the right place. But yeah, they were definitely playing Brown Eyed Girl when I walked up.
That's funny. Okay, so then Saturday night we had the live Hootenanny. Right, so we started off with sort of open mic thing. People came up and played, and then it transitioned into live band karaoke with Frank Muffin. And to Patrick's point about how they just learn songs and play them, they had a list of about 75 songs, all cover songs, well-known covers that they could play, and people signed up and came up and sang. And we did this in Louisville. It went great. Well, we did it in Chicago actually last year, and I thought it went pretty well. I think in Louisville it went really well, and then this one again, it's like, man, it just keeps getting better. So I don't know, any thoughts or highlights from that evening? I'll just say it was a blast.
Eric doing Hey-ya.
That was incredible.
That was incredible. He's the right person to do that.
Mark Neese turning into the lead singer in a punk rock band from Detroit.
That was
holy smokes.
That was so good.
That was fun.
Oh, the highlight.
I like the guy who was just hanging around there that plays a lot, I guess, at Hell's Bottom, that went up and played a couple songs. He was outstanding.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was good.
Reggie, yeah. I think Reggie's there like every night, I think.
Reggie. Yeah.
He had a really good original. Right, it was like a John Prine song or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bud, really what is his full name?
Reggie Right Eye.
Yeah, and
we're
that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Talking to him after he sang his own song, and then forget the second song that he sang. I think it was Radiohead. C- Creep.
Yes, Creep.
That was incredible.
The lounge version of Creep.
Yeah. And he came off the stage and gave him a fist bump. I was like, wow. And he said, well, he said something like, you know, people don't expect that I'm going to sing that kind of song, but I'll sing, you know, I'll sing. And he said, like, I want to sing, like, hell, I'll sing Blister in the Sun.
Blister in the Sun. That was like,
dude, get back up there. I think that was the last song of the evening.
It was.
It was him singing that. It was just, there's so many highlights that it was just the most fun. And I think I said to Jim on the way in there when we were driving in, like, I just had a feeling that that was just going to be such a great, that's kind of what Suburbs Fest is all about to me, is that open mic and the live band karaoke. I mean, I love it all, but like that part is just such a joy.
Tim, I got to ask you, you played an incredible adaptation of a song that used the Suburbs community in the lyrics. How did you get inspired to do that, man? It was so great.
That's right.
I found when we were in Louisville, we went to, I think it was Guest Room Records or one of the record shops that we went to one of those afternoons, and I found that J.J. Cale album called Five that came out in I think 73. It had that song on it, 13 Days. It opens with the song called 13 Days, but it's about J.J. Cale. And, you know, I felt it was more kind of like for him being on the road all the time and all the partying and the drugs and the, you know, just exhaustion and everything, the fun. And I thought, well, this is kind of a perfect song to change the words to, because, and I was also thinking, like, where does the Rock in the Suburbs community go next? Because we've got this, we've got that, the radio station, the festivals. I'm like, we could go on tour and just, like, take a group of Rock in the Suburbs people and just, like, go across the country. Kind of like Jeff Niebuhr and...
My DJ, yeah, Southern Trip, yep.
Yeah, like that, like you know... half a dozen, 10 stops or across the country, like do something like that. So I thought, all right, let's just, I'll write a song about it. So I tried to work in everyone, as many people as I could. And Coley had a big hangover in the song and Jim's losing all his money. It went on and on. It was a lot of fun to write. Yeah, we would definitely lose money on this tour. But
without a doubt, yeah.
It would be fun. It would be a lot of fun.
I think we got to mention the thing that made a few of us nervous, because we thought the power partnership was about to break up. Jim doing In the Air Tonight.
Yes.
Kevin Goff in the assist, and Pat walking out twice during the performance of the song. But thankfully, Pat came back.
Kevin came up there with the most deadpan expression you've ever seen in your life, just like chewing gum, like, yeah, hey, what's up? And then all of a sudden, whap, whap, whap. That was so great.
Kevin and I came up with that idea about maybe a month before. We were hanging out together, and we came up with that idea. And then was what the funny thing is, well, first off, I was so happy, because Kevin, I know he plays drums, he plays guitar. He's never performed in front of the
group.
No,
he hasn't. That's what blew me away.
He never has. And so, and he's a big Genesis fan. So it was like, it just felt like all the pieces, you know, just fit right, you know, and so to do this. And so he agreed he would do it. And my first thing was, I can't believe this is like the fifth fest and nobody had thought of this before to do this song, you know, because it's not a difficult song to play. And so I was like, I was happy about that. And then to have Kevin, because we started off with Kevin just off stage, and then he just sort of walked up in the middle and then sat down and played that big drum break and finished out the song. And I was so happy that he was able to do that, because it really accentuated the sort of the surprise factor, I hope, for the group, because it's
oh my God.
You know, it's like, I think people were even saying, like, making suggestions of people who they know play drums, like, oh, you should get up there and play. Not knowing that we had Kevin ready to come up there and do it. And so that was great.
That was so really brilliant. Fun. Really was brilliant.
I think maybe it's Sunday Night Football or Thursday. I can't get which one of them, but I think it might have been the day after Suburbs Fest. That Sunday night, I was watching the NFL, and the lead into the beginning of the, you know, the pre-show hype was Chris Stapleton and someone else doing like In the Air Tonight.
Oh, nice.
Like way overdone, way over the top. But still, I was like, man, this doesn't hold a candle to Lennon. You guys Kevin on the drums, because
so
everybody at Hell's Bottom just about lost their minds.
It was amazing.
I'll just say one last thing. I really like this live band karaoke thing, because it, you know, the open mic is one thing, and it, I love the creativity that people bring to it and the song choices and the, you know, amount of work and thought sometimes it really goes into these things, you can tell. But then the live band karaoke just gives everybody a chance to participate, you know, just on the fly and get up there and do it, you know. And
absolutely.
So I love that aspect of it.
And I will say, and two, I know we're going to be hearing all these, and thanks to everybody who came up and, you know, did a recording when we were at Denizens. But Joe Fleischer was a revelation, just to meet him, have his vest there. And then he got up and sang, but also danced. He was dancing. It was great. He was just a wonderful human being. And I asked him at one point, like, have you ever done voiceover work? And I was stunned that he's never, like, no one's ever asked him to, like, you know, do a voiceover for something, because he's got that James Earl Jones kind of baritone voice. That's so great. I mean, it's amazing.
I'm still serious. I would love to get his voice recorded for some station ID tags Rocking the Suburbs radio
programs. Can you get him and Kevin Clements together?
Oh my gosh, Joe and
Kevin Clements. Oh my gosh.
It'd make the speakers would shake, like,
that's right,
in the back of your car. Yeah.
Turn down the bass.
Yeah. Seriously. If we ever do an animated Rock in the Suburbs, he has to be the narrator or something like that. Or the voice of evil. Yeah.
And you never know.
I was I rode an Uber with Joe and his wife to Tacoma Park to Hell's Bottom. He's just a true gentleman, just a sweet guy, and his wife really is a wonderful lady, so that was very pleasant drive.
So glad they came up. It was just wonderful to meet him. It really was.
We should give a shout out to the Dubukes also.
Oh yeah.
Andy Dubuke, his two kids got up there and the three of them played together. At one point, they had Tim Hoffman up on stage as well, but that's just heartwarming. You know, this like, you know, the father and his sons playing on stage together, right?
It was great. Yeah. I love those kids so much. I hope Wingtip Sloat hasn't warped their brains too badly living in a house where we practiced for all those years, but they're really sweet kids. They are. Andy and Maria have just done a wonderful job with those guys, and they're so talented. I mean, they both can play like crazy. So really, really cool. Yeah, great shout, Jim. And Tim got up there with them and ripped it up, and that was really fun too.
It was a lot of fun. The idea was out there, and then I worked on the song a little bit just on my own in the car or whatever, but we had about 5 minutes to talk about it before we went up on stage.
And you guys did Paranoid.
My second Black Sabbath cover, because I think I did War Pigs in Louisville.
That's right, you did. And
this one, so... Yeah, I'm on a Black Sabbath kick. I think I'm going to do like a...
Yes.
Fairies Wear Boots next.
Yeah, I'll just say, with the open mic stuff, with the live Hootenanny's great, as I said. I have no musical talent, so at least it allows me, and I'm still shocked, but apparently it allows me to get on stage. That having said, the open mic stuff, it always sort of blows me away. I mean, the two mics doing the Tommy thing...
Yes. Oh my God! That was incredible.
Another highlight.
Butterfly wings. Just so many highlights, and again, you just kind of walk away after this time you just did the open mic thing all together, and you just kind of walk away just saying, "Man, the talent in this room is just unbelievable." At the end,
it really captures a lot of what. I felt in the Hootenannies over those months, and like over a year and a half, 2 years, whatever, when we were doing the Hootenannies, and there'd be something would come up, and you know, you could see people in the gallery just kind of like, what the hell is going on? Yeah. You know, someone's playing this song. It was just, or here's this video that someone made. And so when Mike and Mike were up there, and I'm like, what? They're Sparks? They're playing Sparks?
I know.
That was, like, to me, that was just like,
it was so cool.
Never seen anyone play that on stage. I never thought I ever would see someone play like that. So that was just another highlight, man. It was just maybe one of the most fun evenings I've had in my life. It was so much fun.
It's
on a 12-string acoustic too.
That was so cool. Amazing. This will transition. I see. I love the variety of it all too. I like that people come at it with different songs, different interests, all that stuff. That's what's great.
I mean, the biggest reaction in the room that night may have been Kurt doing the children's song.
I was just going to say, and at one point in the night, it rained tacos.
and you know, look, I was on a big Springsteen kick, so the fact that Rob Gates at UGIP got on stage with the Muffins and did the two Springsteen songs, that made me extremely happy as well.
I just mentioned the band Nerf Herder in passing, and right after that, Eric Dietrichson gets up and pulls a Nerf Herder song out of his back pocket, and he killed it.
How good is that dude? Just has songs going in his head nonstop.
How did he do that? That was amazing. And I think Nerf Herder is pretty obscure. And he's like, oh, I know a Nerf Herder song. Here it is.
We open for Weezer, first time on the road. Some of us had never even been in the snow. Following along in our rental van. Back when Matt Sharp was still in the band called Weezer. Watching every night from the crowd. Saw a kid rush the stage and take the bass amp down. The wah-wah rolling over 7-Eleven. It was nerdcore heaven in 97 with Weezer. Video was playing on the MTV too. Right about the time that Buffy started slaying, we were on tour and we were playing with Weezer.
They were singing. And then a true testament of how awesome live band karaoke is, I dragged my wife along because, well, she likes to see the guys every once in a while, and she likes music, not really her bag, but you know, I ply her enough with enough $4.50 Crown and Coke. The next thing you know, second hour, she's up there on the stage doing karaoke with me.
That was
some really bad, like, 90s rock alternative song. And, you know, that's just the beauty, is that you can be whoever you want and sing however you want, and people are going to be super supportive of you.
Yes.
She said it didn't 100% suck, which is high praise in our house.
It was awesome, man. It was so great. It felt good to see... I mean, it was great to see Justice. She was so good. And she brought, was it her cousin or niece?
I think it was her cousin.
Her cousin who got there. I can't remember the song.
She did Ziggy.
Oh my God.
Yeah, really good.
I think I was kind of right up front there.
Yeah, she seemed very shy. Sitting by the computer. As soon as she started singing, something came out of her. And
You could see, because at first I could tell, wow, looks pretty nervous. Like, how's this going to go? But as soon as she started singing, I think she felt immediately like this wave of support from everyone in the room. You got this. And just got more confident and I got into it more. It was just such a good time. That's what this group is all about. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you go up there sing. It's all good. It's all music. And we're gonna enjoy it, and you're gonna have fun. No one is judging anyone.
Well, another thing with Justice, I had no idea she was even gonna be there.
Yeah, me neither.
But it was like maybe 2 weeks before the fest. I was still on the fence about whether or not I was even gonna go, and I ended up buying a plane ticket last minute. It's another story. I never went to bed Saturday night until I got to the plane. But I was recording my show for the radio a couple of weeks before the fest, and it was a Friday night, and I had a couple bourbons in me, and I played Sunvolt's Windfall on my show. And drunk ass Coley texted Hans, "Hey, you think you could learn Windfall?" And he's like, "Well, I'm out of town for a week, but we'll see." And then like 2 days later, he texts me. He said, "Yeah, we just learned it. It's not as hard as I thought it was going to be." So I'm like, "Oh, shit."
Now you're on the hook.
I was on the hook for that. But then Justice came up and played violin. She learned that violin part. I don't know when she got involved with it, but
it was great.
I didn't expect any violin in to accompany that song.
I forgot all about her playing violin on that. Yeah. That was fantastic.
It was awesome. It was awesome.
I think Julie Snyder had tears in her eyes while you were singing it.
Oh, yes.
All right. And then one last thing on Saturday. Some people then like went to another show after this ended, right?
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
It was...
Go ahead. Go ahead, Mike.
It was Eric. Eric and Nick knew about it. And Mark and I were like, "Oh, hey, let's go to the show."
Who else went?
So the band you guys
went to,
the bar
that we had dinner at the night before, wondering how the heck they were going to set up a band in there.
So the band you guys went to see was Hurry. They were on a bill with, I don't know, there were like two or three other bands as well, right? But the one you wanted to see was Hurry, and it just so happened that they were playing that night late at a bar that was near our hotel.
The Quarry House.
So it just worked out that you guys could leave the once, because the live band karaoke, the Hootenanny thing, had to wrap at like 10 p.m. and you were able to go see that show. How cool
was
that?
It was. I was thinking of this. This was sort of off the cuff. As off the cuff as I have been since I was in college, just the entire evening, like just, you know, live band karaoke. And then like, "Hey, do you mind if I tag along to see these bands you're going to see?" And it was 10 o'clock. And we all went to see, the first band was Liz DeLise that we saw. And they were really good. I really enjoyed them. And then Hurry played, but it was just, I felt like I was 20 again or 21. It was just such a fun night. And I stayed up later than I have stayed up in probably 3 decades. It was just insane. It was so much fun. And I felt 30 years younger the entire evening.
Yes.
Hurry was great. They were a great band. And I'm a fan now. And I thank Eric Didrikson for turning me on to them. What a phenomenal band.
That's cool.
And it was a fun night. Just a super fun night, and great being there with those guys, Mike and Nick and Eric. And who else was there? It was
Brad was there, I think.
Brad.
It's so wonderful that the fest can bring such joy to an older gentleman.
Exactly.
We were still up at the hotel.
I wasn't sure I still had that in me.
Yeah, that's right. We were all down in the lobby of the hotel when y'all came back from the show.
Oh yeah,
we were at the lobby bar. Party. Yeah.
Congratulations to that couple, and thanks for the glasses of champagne. Apparently, we crashed their wedding party and kept the bar.
Yeah,
that's right.
They were happy to have
poor Mike Coley getting yelled at by the reception or the woman at the desk for standing
on furniture. Mike.
Yeah. Oh my God. You're so out of control, picture. Mike.
Let the photographer get some.
Yeah. That's right. God forbid we should be having fun at 2:30 in the morning.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, just for a dose of reality, Bill Mulligan and myself and my wife Sheila were driving home on Saturday night, and I said, "Sheila, what did you think? Like, wasn't that incredible?" And she said, "Bud's t-shirts are kind of cool." And I said, "That's all you had from that entire evening, that Bud's t-shirts were cool?" It's like, you're banned from this community.
Didn't you fall off the stage while singing Surrender by Cheap Trick? And
that's seriously, I was just going to say that.
Impressed by that?
Oh, that reminds me. What's the deal with the push-ups?
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure how that started. I got a little excited on Saturday night at Hank Diedel's. No, Friday night. Everybody was dancing, and I can't dance, so I wanted to throw something in there. So I just started doing push-ups for some reason.
And it just sort of grew from there, and it became like a whole thing on Saturday
night.
Well,
you did it down in Louisville, too, didn't you?
Oh, did I? Maybe I did, yeah.
I think you did, too, for Dear Daria. I think there was a...
Oh, maybe I did. Yeah, maybe it was... So I'm like four in a row now. I've got to keep it up.
I was trying to do some push-ups while you were singing Surrender, and then I didn't realize. I looked to my side, and there was like four other people doing push-ups at the same time.
You know, Pat, I hope you're happy, but because of the Suburbs Fest, I've started taking HGH.
People are going to be on your back next year, and you'll be doing push-ups. Like, you know, everybody get on my back.
I've never seen someone... like crawl off the stage, across the floor, up the stairs, and out the side door of the
Thank
door.
You very much. That was Mark was right. There was magic in the room that night. There's no doubt about it. There was some kind of magic.
All right. Great time. So great time had by all at Suburbs Fest. I assume we'll do it again next year, but as I said before, I don't like to think about it for a little while. I'm still not thinking about it. So other than this moment right here. But anyway, assuming we do some... I'm assuming we'll do something next year, and we would love it if more people would attend. See, anybody who missed this, see what you missed?
Yep, that's right. Push-ups.
This exact thing can never be repeated again, and you missed out. That's what I was
saying. I will tell you, if you are on the fence of whether to come to a Suburbs Fest or not, don't worry. We will make sure that you are A, entertained, B, fed, C, well alcoholed, kind of the kind of a running theme behind the entire Suburb Fest is like leave no Suburbs Fest person behind.
That's exactly right.
You will get wherever you need to get, however you need to get there. There are enough cars, there are enough people. Everyone will look out for you. If you're a visitor to our city, we will make sure that you need to be where you need to be, when you need to be there. And when we come to your city, we appreciate the same.
Right. So, right.
I was well said.
Coming to Louisville, 100% glad I did it.
Oh my God.
100% glad that everybody came to our city. And I think if you're on the fence, just do it. Just take that leap of faith. You will be well taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And thank you, Bud, for driving me to Rockville. I am so grateful for that. Or driving me to and from Rockville.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. It's such a great community. Everybody is wonderful. It's so much fun, and I highly recommend anyone who's on the fence about it to come. It's to at least one. It's a great time.
And you'll probably come home with like four t-shirts and a whole bunch of CDs and records. We'll come with like, where did all these t-shirts come from? It's fantastic.
I came home with a cassette tape.
There you go.
All right. Oh, and Kurt has a postcard that he got.
Elvis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Elvis. Nice.
There it is.
Elvis Tyro Gyra album.
Right.
That's right. You never know. You never know. All right.
You just never know.
Let's get out of here. Thanks very much, Kurt, Jason, Bud, Mike, Tim, Mark, and everybody who came out to Suburbs Fest, everybody who attended. It was just a joy. Just wonderful. So thank you all.
Thank you.
All right. And
thank you, guys.
With that... It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
Thanks, everybody, again. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah. We could go on tour.